Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
It is the final week of the regular season, and as you heard there, the Bucks currently sit in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. The numbers still suggesting that the Bucks are going to finish there in fifth place. You got two big games with the Pistons coming up later in the week, your final two games of the regular season for that matter. And speaking of the Detroit Pistons, there's only two games on the NBA schedule tonight because it is, of course, the national championship. And the Pistons are playing in one of those two games. They just started the fourth quarter in Detroit. And the Sacramento Kings are currently up 106-102. So, if that score holds and the Pistons fall to the Kings, you'll be two games up on the Pistons in the loss column. If that happens and the Bucks win tomorrow night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, it is mathematically not impossible, but I'm willing to call it at that point and say the Bucks have locked up the five seed. I have a hard time, and I was talking about this with somebody else today, I have a hard time seeing the Bucks drop both games against the Pistons. I have a hard time seeing the Bucks drop that game against the New Orleans Pelicans that they have on Thursday night because New Orleans has no interest in winning that game. And we saw it was a challenge for the Bucks last night in New Orleans, but playing without Giannis, playing without Damian Lillard, they were down some pieces there. It sets up to be a favorable schedule for the Bucks. The big things to keep an eye on, obviously what the Pistons do and if they continue to apply the pressure on the Bucks with their schedule. But as we mentioned, the Bucks have won the first two games of the four-game set in the regular season between Detroit. So if the Pistons win those final two games, they would pull even in the season series. So then after that happens, you move on to divisional record. And if the Pistons win those two games, both the Bucks and Pistons would finish 7-9 on the season, in the division, I should say. The Bucks are done outside of those two Pistons games with conference games. And that would be the next step that we go to. So it's where you got to keep some tabs on Detroit, because if that happens, Detroit is going to have a better conference record than the Bucks in all likelihood. Detroit right now 28-21, the Bucks 29-21. It's not in all likelihood they would if they sweep the Bucks. The Bucks would finish 29-23 in division. Even if the Pistons lose their only other divisional or conference game, I should say, against the New York Knicks on Thursday, they would still finish one game better than the Bucks in conference. So the big piece is, look, if you win tomorrow, regardless of what happens in this game with the Pistons, but especially if the Pistons lose this game tonight, if you win tomorrow and you split those two games with the Pistons, you're going to be the five seed. And that would mean the Indiana Pacers, in all likelihood, just as we said, it's not mathematically impossible for the Bucks to catch the Pacers at this point. Three games back with four games remaining. Not impossible. Incredibly challenging. Same can be said for Indiana moving up to the three seed to catch the New York Knicks. They're also three games back with four games remaining. And, you know, one other thing to keep an eye on, Cleveland Cavaliers, is this would tie into potentially catching the Pacers. Pacers have two games left against the Cavs. And the Cavs still have not locked up the one seed. They're four games up on the Boston Celtics with four games left. So the magic number is one. If that can drag out, then who knows? Maybe the door is open, but it does feel like we're maybe a day away from knowing what 1-6 is going to be in terms of order. And then it's just sorting out the 7-10 play-in spots. And quite frankly, that does not impact the Bucks. But you finish five, and I know we've had this conversation before. Who would you rather play? What's the seed that the Bucks should look for? And to be clear, I've mentioned this. I know a lot of people listening and interacting with the show have said the same thing too. I don't care where the Bucks finish. If you tell me they're healthy, that's the big thing, right? If you can somehow get Damian Lillard back, we talked about that quite a bit over the weekend. But if you get Damian Lillard back into the mix, you're getting one big piece back tomorrow. The hope is, and it sounds like it's a reality, you're getting Jericho Sims back for the playoffs. That the point being, we've seen the Bucks as a one seed, a two seed. They obviously won the championship as a three seed. All this fretting over your seed and what your matchup is. And ever since the Bucks won the championship, it's been irrelevant because they have not been healthy. So seed, not so much what I'm caring about. Health is what you're caring about the most. All that being said, if we can set that aside for a minute, if you do finish on that five line, it is starting to look a little bit different. I know earlier in the season it was a, hey, honestly, respect to the Celtics, the reigning NBA champions, does feel like it's a team that's a little bored with the regular season that's going through some of that malaise that every champion goes through. And this Cleveland Cavaliers team is looking really, really good. Cavs have basically been a 500 team for the last 2-3 weeks now. And as we mentioned, they were running away. At one point, I believe they were 8 games up on the Celtics. It's 4 now. If you finish on that 5 line, it means you avoid the New York Knicks, who I know on paper, we would all say, terrible matchup for the Bucks. 0-3, the optics of those losses, the point differential in those losses, not great, Bob, right? And then the Celtics would be your second-round opponent if you can get into the second round. Boston is starting to heat up and looking very, very good just in time for the postseason. They've won 9 of their last 10. So maybe, just maybe, home court advantage aside, not having that, maybe, just maybe, finishing 5, that's actually the preferred destination for the Bucks. Get some revenge of sorts if you can win that series against the Indiana Pacers in the first round, and a Cleveland team that hasn't played quite as well as the Celtics have of late, if you can get through the first round of the playoffs. But again, I think we're at least a day away from having a pretty good sense. We'll keep you updated on that score in Detroit because it's a big one. 7 minutes left in the game, and the Sacramento Kings currently lead the Pistons by 5, 113-108. So we'll keep up to date on that score. But I mentioned health. That's more important than seeding for this Bucks team and has been for the past couple of years. Health, not so much, but personnel available, the big piece of it, it's going to change. If you had a chance to peruse the Bucks injury report for the game tomorrow night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, you saw there's just 2 names listed as out. And it had been 3 for the last couple of weeks. So the 25-game suspension is now over. And Bobby Portis is cleared to return to the floor tomorrow night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's the impact we can expect from Bobby Portis? Is he coming back at precisely the right time for a team that's been struggling to rebound the basketball? And what's he going to mean for the Bucks offense? We'll start to answer some of those questions coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, as we mentioned, tomorrow night is a pretty interesting showdown for the Bucks against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a Timberwolves team that have been playing much, much better of late. Now, they're still in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference, but in the West, 3-8 is separated by just 2 games right now. The Lakers, the Denver Nuggets, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, and then the Memphis Grizzlies. So Timberwolves have started to play much better basketball of late. They've won 7 of their last 10 games, and it should be a nice test for the Bucks. They got a lot of size to deal with. Rudy Gobert, obviously, Naz Reid, Julius Randle has recently made his return. And the good news for the Bucks, when we talk about size, is the Bucks are getting some size back themselves. The 25-game suspension is now over for Bobby Portis, so you get a big piece, literally and figuratively, back on the floor for the Bucks. You look to yesterday where there was no Giannis in New Orleans, and you look at the last 25 games, you've been, well, 20 games or so. You've been playing without anybody other than Giannis and Brooke Lopez once Jericho Sims went down. And Bobby Portis's suspension began as soon as the All-Star break ended. So you've had to find different ways to play. The injury to Damian Lillard, the issue Damian Lillard is dealing with, has meant Giannis has had to play point guard, all while being one of 2 bigs on the team. You've had to stagger the minutes with Giannis and Brooke Lopez on the floor together. And in doing that, we've seen the Bucks defense slide, and it really starts on the glass, where the Bucks at one point were tied for first in defensive rebounding rate. They have slid quite a bit since Bobby Portis's exit here, and especially once Jericho Sims went down. At one point, the Bucks were trending towards making history in being the team that finished number one in defensive rebounding and number 30 in offensive rebounding. They've done a good job, and as we talked about season as a whole, I should preface with that. We mentioned before, you know, limiting your liabilities, all the reasons why this defense has improved. Better personnel is certainly a piece of that as well, but it really starts for this group with rebounding because it checks off so many boxes. If you do a good job of defensive rebounding, you're limiting second chance points. And when you think about it, those offensive rebounds, the opponent gets it, you get it yourself. What do you do with it? Well, it's either a putback or more often than not, it seems to lead to a three-pointer. So you're closing the possessions. Doc Rivers has talked about this too. One of the things Red Auerbach used to tell me when I was the coach of the Boston Celtics, he'd come in and tell me, get the ball, don't give up the ball. And by the way, for the entire duration of this season, the 78 games that we're in here, Bucks are number three in the league in defensive rebounding rate. And they're not too far behind the number one team, the Los Angeles Clippers. Sacramento Kings are number two. But that's been a big piece of their improved defense, is the Bucks have been rebounding the basketball on the defensive glass, limiting offensive rebounds for the opponent. So they're not getting those tip-ins, those putbacks close to the rim, paint production going up there, extra three-pointers on extending possessions. And when that changes, when you don't get those defensive rebounds, all of those things start to change. You look at the difference. When we talk about the math game, you know, you'll always hear that pointed to when people talk about who took more threes than twos. But for the Bucks of late, the math game has been how many field goals are you taking and how many is your opponent taking. The more bites at the apple, I know everybody loves that phrase here, but the more bites at the apple they get, the more, and for you as well, the more you're going to do with it. And the Bucks have been getting pulverized in that area because of the lack of defensive rebounding. It gives the opponent more cracks at it. With more cracks, they're going to score a whole lot more. It also increases transition opportunities. And that was the number one area that Doc Rivers singled out earlier in the season. And he's gone back to it the past couple of games here when he's asked, hey, what's changed with the defense other than the obvious, that you don't have a whole lot of size out there? And talking about, look, earlier in the season, after that 2-8 start especially, we did a much better job of fixing our transition defense, limiting the opportunities and getting back there, getting our defense set. That's the other thing. When you get those rebounds, it doesn't give the opponent the opportunity to get in transition. So I'm not saying tomorrow everything's fixed, everything changes, and the Bucks become an infinitely better team, but it's a big step towards it when you get Bobby Portis back. If for no other reason, then you don't have to worry about staggering the minutes of Giannis and Brooke Lopez. One goes out, the other stays on the floor, vice versa, right? The only time we've really seen Giannis and Brooke Lopez, two bigs, on the floor together for the Bucks in this 20 game stretch is the start of the game and the opening tip-off, first couple of minutes of the game, and the close to the game. Other than that, you've had to stagger things. So now when Bobby Portis comes back, you get more looks at that. You get a guy that has been a very, very good, not only defensive rebounding player, rebounder overall. You get that. You get scoring production. And for the longest time, we've talked about this Bucks offense. And I go back to what we've said many, many times throughout the course of this season. If I were to tell you this Bucks defense is going to be in the top 10 this season, for the most part, I think we all would assume, hey, great. That means this team's going to be, you know, like a top three seed somewhere around there. But then when I tell you where the offense ranks, that's where you start to question, well, how is that possible with Giannis and Damian Lillard on this same team? The Bucks right now, total season numbers, 12th in defensive efficiency. They're less than a point per 100 possessions away from being in the top nine, catching the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they can still finish overall a top 10 offense, or excuse me, defense this season. Offense has gotten better. It's up to 13th now. But again, that number you would assume would at least be in the top eight or so. Top 12 defense should be more than good enough with Giannis and Damian Lillard on the floor. So it's a matter of working things out here. We have seen some massive leaps from this offense really in the past, 10 games now that Damian Lillard has been out. The Bucks have been one of the best offenses in the league. And just as we mentioned, Bobby Portis is going to help you a lot on the defensive glass. Bobby Portis is going to help your offense as well. In these past 10 games, the Bucks are now number 6 in offensive efficiency at 120.5. It's the defensive rating at a 117 that's just, it's frankly not good enough, 19th. That's a number you're willing to say, okay, 5-6, we can go down a line or two, but that defense has to be hovering around the top 10. So you get a lot of things back with Bobby Portis, a player that's virtually averaging a double-double so far this season at just under 14 points, just over 8 rebounds per game. And just having another big body and what that means for guys like Giannis that you can throw out there. 9 double-doubles this season so far for Bobby Portis, and he had really started to play some good basketball before that suspension. Again, the last time we saw Bobby Portis, the irony here, was that final game before the All-Star break, the Bucks win in Minnesota, where Bobby Portis, in those 23 minutes of work, just had 8 points but 6 rebounds, some big moments in that game. You go back to the game, 2 games before that, he was on a stretch to 20-point performances, double-doubles. He had 17 rebounds and 23 points against the Hornets, 26 and 15 against the Atlanta Hawks, 18 and 13 in that game against the Sixers, Super Bowl Sunday. So he'd really started to piece together some good basketball, and then you lose him. But tomorrow that changes. So you do get one big piece back, and hopefully we start to see that rebounding number improve. And in turn, the overall defensive number will improve for the Bucks as well. Well, some of you don't know very well about how the Bucks are going to utilize Bobby Portis, how you work him back into the mix, is head coach Doc Rivers. He is this week's guest on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You'll hear that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Our guest is one of Milwaukee's favorite sons, Darvin Ham.
Giannis has some years still where this jump shot is going to get more consistent, get better. The free throw shooting is going to get better.
This is Courtside with Gail Klappa.
Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
Well, you can see people buying in, and it takes a buy-in from your entire team.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn-up play, and decision made.
Here in Milwaukee, we call him the people's mayor. Our guest, Bucks forward, Bobby Portis.
A hard worker, blue-collar guy, so blue-collar guy in the blue-collar city.
Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside. It's crunch time. With just a handful of games left to play, the curtain is closing on the NBA regular season. For the Bucks, it's coming right down to the wire. The good news? Well, the team has clinched a spot in the postseason for the 9th consecutive year. But the Bucks are in a tight race with the Pacers and the Pistons for playoff position. And we may not know how it all shakes out until the buzzer sounds at season's end on Sunday. Tonight, we'll get the lowdown on the health of the team and the challenge ahead. Our guest has insight born of experience. He's been recognized as one of the best coaches in NBA history. We're joined by the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers. Doc, always great to sit down with you here on Courtside.
Oh, Gail, great to hear from you. Great to talk.
All right, rock and roll. Well, Doc, I want to kick things off by saying congratulations. Last week, of course, with a Bucks win in Philly, you became the 7th winningest coach in NBA history. You've racked up more wins now than Phil Jackson, the legendary coach of the Bulls and the Lakers. And, Doc, that's quite an accomplishment. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Gail. Listen, you don't achieve anything without the help of a lot of people. I've had a lot of great coaches. I've had a lot of great players. I've been a very fortunate man, for sure.
Well, and George Karl, who coached the Bucks more than 20 years ago, is at number 6 on that list. Now in your sights, Doc.
Let's get them. The more we win, the happier we all are.
Amen. And Coach, speaking of accomplishments, I'd like to get your thoughts on the performance that Giannis turned in against Philly last week. 35 points, 17 rebounds, 20 assists. Nobody in NBA history has ever had a stat line like that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was amazing. I got to watch it at a different vantage point. You know, I got to watch it in the first quarter on the bench. And then the next three quarters, I was in the locker room getting IVs because I was dehydrated. So I really got to watch it in two different completely ways. And both ways were special. I really felt like the Philly game, Giannis felt like we were not clicking. And he put the game, put the team on his shoulders and took us to the victory. And that's amazing.
It sure was. Doc, back to you not feeling well that night, starting out the game on the bench, then turning it over to Darvin Ham. Does he get an assist on that victory?
Oh, he absolutely does. They get assists on every victory.
Oh, gosh. And, of course, Doc, there's intense interest in the status of Damian Lillard. Tell our listeners, if you will, about how Dame's blood clot was discovered and how his recovery is progressing. What can you tell us?
The discovery was interesting. He kept complaining about a calf injury. But he didn't have the symptoms of a calf injury. And so our medical team was a little miffed. They couldn't figure out, like, what was going on. And then they thought, well, let's do an MRI because there's got to be something else. And thank gosh they did. I mean, in a lot of ways, you can make a case that was life-saving, you know, that happened. So they found it in the MRI. Obviously, we shut them down, and, you know, you do the whole blood thinner thing, and there's different process now. The good news is this. Number one, it was in the calf. It wasn't in the upper body. The upper body blood clots virtually means there's a chance you may not play again, all right?
Yep.
The second thing is there's different methods now on how to heal this. He got a test last week that came out great. His blood numbers are back to normal, which is huge in the blood clot arena. And then the second part of it is that the blood clot has gotten smaller. You know, obviously he can't play unless it's gone. And the new stuff that they're doing, it gives us the belief that there's a chance that it could be gone in the next week or two. We're hoping. That's hopeful thinking, obviously, Gail. But if that's the case, then he can come back and play. If not, then it's going to be tough to get him back.
Well, Coach, with all the injuries the Bucks have sustained over the past few weeks, you could almost hear the theme for MASH playing in the background. But this week, Doc, yeah, help is on the way.
Yeah, Bobby. Boy, do we need him. But, you know, listen, he's missed 25 games, and yeah, you know, we've done our best to really try to have what we call fake games, you know, low minute games. So we've done a lot of stuff, and it's going to be interesting how well he comes back. I think he's going to be great. I think he's kept himself in great shape. He's really, you know, worked his butt off. So we are really looking forward to having him back.
And, Doc, I understand that Bobby is so raring to get back that he's carrying a basketball with him almost 24/7 in his hands.
Oh, he does. Carries it on the plane, dribbles. You know, he just felt like, listen, I don't want to lose the feel of the ball.
Coach, as you've juggled the lineup with all of these injuries, two young Bucks have really started to shine. Talk about the contributions of Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins.
They've both been great, you know, especially you're talking about in due time and needed time. You lose Dame and you need help at the point guard position, and they both have done just a spectacular job. Let's start with Ryan. Defensively, Ryan has been good all year, but now he's starting to get comfortable offensively. He's going downhill, had 10 assists the other night. He's making plays. Very happy. He puts the work in, you know. And it's starting to come to fruition, so that's good for him. And then KBJ has just been phenomenal. We call him Scoot, is his nickname around the team. So Scoot has been unbelievable. Going downhill has been the biggest change with him. You know, when he first got here, you remember he would dance a lot with the ball, and we've really worked on him just attacking the paint and being a point guard and making plays. and telling them when you do that, you're going to end up scoring as well. And it's good that that has shown guys like playing with him. The thing that I love about it is he's courageous. Like he, you know, he believes that he's one of the best players out there. And that's why down the stretch in big games, you can really trust him.
More with Bucks coach Doc Rivers in a moment. This is Courtside on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now, more with Gale and Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Well, Doc, you've asked Brook Lopez, as we've talked before, to log a ton of minutes at the center position, but he's been an iron man. And, Coach, he's having, I think, one of the best seasons of his 17-year career.
Yeah, he's been absolutely wonderful, and he's doing it in so many ways. He's, you know, it's an inside joke, but Brook Lopez is the three-point shooter. Brooklyn Lopez is the post player, and he's doing a great job of mixing it up and being both.
And you've had to rely on Brooklyn Brook a lot more with all these injuries.
Yeah, we really have, and it's really, you know, where it's helped is that second unit. When we get struggle scoring, we can throw the ball to Brook in the post, and either he scores or he creates scoring, and it's been really good for us.
And, Doc, when do you think help will be on the way? When could we see Jericho Sims, that big young center who came to the Bucks at the trade deadline? When do you think we could see him back on the court?
Yeah, probably the playoffs. He's not going to make it back. We thought we were hoping this week, but that's not going to happen. So we're hoping in the first round.
Doc, speaking of newcomers, how would you grade the performance of Kyle Kuzma since his arrival at the trade deadline?
He's been really good. You know, you can see he's struggling a little bit offensively to find his place and his way. You know, the game against New Orleans, he had a great offensive night. The game against Miami, he struggled offensively. But, and it takes time, you know, honestly, for us to figure out what's his right place. And so we're starting to see that. We really love his slashing, his ability to be in the open floor, gives us another ball handler. Defensively, he's been fantastic. And rebounding has been fantastic. So his last step for us is we can get him comfortable in the next week, week and a half. He's going to be great for us.
And, Doc, just thinking back, it's only been a few weeks since the trade deadline. With all the injuries, where would the Bucks be without the genius of John Horst and the players that we just talked about that came to the Bucks?
Yeah, John's done an amazing job. He really has, Gale. Like, when you think about not only just now, but this whole year, we came into this past summer with zero money to give, all minimum contracts, but we needed to go after veteran players. You know, Malik, we lose Malik to Detroit because they signed him for more than what we could offer. We end up with Gary Trent, which is a great pickup. We get Taron Prince, which is a great pickup for us. Scoot and Kyle Kuzma at the deadline. Jericho, I mean, that's five players that have been added to a team that is cap heavy. It's pretty impressive.
Coach, the team has won four straight now, and we've got four, count them four, games to go. But it looks like perhaps the final two games, home and home matchups against the Pistons, could well determine our spot in the playoffs. Your comment?
Yeah, it looks like it will, no matter what we do in these upcoming two. We want to win those first and then hope that, you know, for the best. I don't ever really watch what the other team is doing. I just know if we take care of ours, we're going to be okay. But we don't mind help either, Gale. It's okay if the other teams want to beat Detroit first. We're all good with that as well. But we get a mini playoff clean brew before the playoffs, you know, which for this team, you know, I think it really helps us be more battle-tested. We were battle-tested in Vegas. And we came out on top on that. Now we'll do it in this little two-game set, and then we'll go to the playoffs. I think it will help us a lot moving forward.
So as you prepare the team, Doc, for this final stretch and then the playoffs ahead, what are you focused on? What do you think the team needs to work on the most?
Well, we got to get back to our defensive principles, Gale. You know, our offense right now, what did we shoot, 68% in the game? We shoot 57% in the game. but the games are still close. And so why would they still be close? Well, it's a numbers game. And right now, teams are shooting 10, 15, 20 more shots than us a game. It's so hard to win a game. And we will not win a playoff game if we allow a team to have 20 more shots than us. And that comes from offensive rebounding. That comes from taking care of the ball. That also comes on our end. If we can create more steals and turnovers, and if we can get some more offensive rebounds. So we have to win the numbers game. And when we do that with our offense and with our defense, we're really good.
And, Coach, with Dame out, you're asking Giannis to handle the ball a lot more, set the table for the offense. He seems to relish the role.
Oh, he loves it. I mean, the first week I got here, he told me he wanted to be a guard someday. And now he is, you know. We've literally put him at the point guard position. You know, I went to Giannis. This is something I thought about when I found out that Dame may be out for a while. You know, it's funny, when I went to him, he thought about it and said, I think I can do it, but well, what does that mean? And I said, well, we'll show you what it means. You're going to have the ball, you're bringing it up, and you're starting our offense. What we have found in this is that the teams have to pay so much attention to him with the ball. It's allowing us to run our sets almost more freely on the weak side action stuff. So it's been really good for us, and he really, really loves the role.
And you've been saying, I think, very appropriately over the last few weeks, why is Giannis not in the MVP conversation? Do you think that's having some effect?
No, but I think it should. You know, it's funny. One of the great rioters, Bob Ryan, texted me the other day and was like, how is Giannis not one of the MVP favorites? And I just text back, I think you have to answer that, not me.
Amen. Amen. Well, Doc, as we wrap things up, the final word. Coach, what words of wisdom would you like to share with Bucks fans hungry for playoff wins, Bucks fans everywhere?
Yeah, we are really looking forward to the playoffs. I think we're going to be playoff ready. You know, pray for health. And if we have that, we're going to be tough to beat.
Fantastic. Well, Coach, been a great pleasure chatting with you throughout the course of the season. Best of luck to you in the final four games and for a deep run in the playoffs. And you've been listening to Courtside on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, our thanks to Doc Rivers for his time tonight as the featured subject on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. And as you heard from him, great to get Bobby Portis back on the floor tomorrow. But the two other outstanding items, Jericho Sims essentially ruled out for the rest of the regular season. Doc remains hopeful he'll be able to return in time for the playoffs or at some point during the playoffs, I suppose we should say. And Damian Lillard. So I guess we're all going to be anxiously awaiting the next week or two any potential updates if that blood clot has gone away. And then Dame can begin his ramp up and return to the floor. That's the good thing, is the Bucks are not going to be in the play-in tournament, so you got a week off between the regular season ending and the postseason beginning. Sunday is the final day of the regular season. Playoffs don't begin until Saturday, the 19th. There was one other game of note tonight that we mentioned before we took our breaks here, and that was between the Detroit Pistons and the Sacramento Kings. Two games played tonight as a whole. They've both gone final. But the one that matters the most to the Bucks was played in Detroit, where the Sacramento Kings have beaten the Pistons 127 to 117. So, as of this moment, the Bucks are two games up on the Pistons in the loss column. If the Bucks beat the Timberwolves tomorrow, the Bucks are two full games up on the Pistons for that five spot, with two games remaining against Detroit, three games overall, meaning all the Bucks would have to do is split those two games with the Pistons. Even if the Bucks lose to the New Orleans Pelicans, as far-fetched as that may seem, all they got to do is split those games, and they're finishing no lower than fifth in the Eastern Conference. So a big, big result tonight where the Bucks did get some help. Now, can you take care of business tomorrow in a big one against the Minnesota Timberwolves? As we mentioned, with some or one reinforcement on the way, in the form of Bobby Portis. So that's tomorrow. The other notable games on the schedule tomorrow, Pacers are playing against the Washington Wizards. So the only way the Pacers can guarantee no lower than fourth is if they win and the Bucks lose. That separation is still three. Tomorrow is would leave three games remaining after that game. So that's the notable one to keep an eye on. You got the Knicks and the Celtics playing each other as well. And then on Wednesday, nothing really of substance. It's Thursday where the Bucks play the Pelicans. And the other two games of note, Cavs and the Pacers and the New York Knicks and the Pistons, which may well be a first-round preview leading into the big ones on Friday and Sunday with Detroit. We'll take a closer look at those games and start to wrap things up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, so as we just mentioned, the Pistons give you some help. You heard Doc Rivers say moments ago, look, we're not going to complain with getting help. We won't push back against it. And that's what the Bucks have gotten these past couple of games. The other interesting part, I was talking about this with Dave Kane the other day, and he mentioned it on the broadcast too. When you look at the names that the Bucks have been able to avoid of late, players out of the lineup, look at Philadelphia and what they trotted out there for that game, for both of those games for that matter. Other guys like the Atlanta Hawks, the injuries that they were dealing with, they didn't have Clint Capella in the game where they played the Bucks. The New Orleans Pelicans, you know, you didn't see C.J. McCollum. You didn't see anybody. Nine players all listed as out for the Pels in that game yesterday. You got one more with New Orleans. I don't anticipate it to be much better in terms of who's available. So point being, the Bucks have gotten some breaks in terms of who's on the floor for their opponents in these recent games. Unfortunately, they haven't done quite as much as you would have hoped with it. And a big piece of that is the Bucks have been in a pretty similar spot. When you're playing without Damian Lillard, you're playing without Bobby Portis for that 25-game suspension. Jericho Sims, just as he's starting to come into his own and really find his groove and settle into what his role is with this Bucks team, Jericho Sims goes down with an injury. So the record, not where you would have liked it to have been with that help that you got. So injury is a big, big piece of that in what we've seen lately from this team. But the big news to come from the day is the Pistons lose. So again, as we stand here now on Monday evening, you're two games up in the loss column on the Pistons. So win tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you're two full games up with three games remaining, and tiebreakers are off the table then. If you split that series with the Pistons, those two games remaining, doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. You could lose each of your other two games. You'll have the tiebreaker by way of winning three out of four against Detroit. And worst case scenario, you'll finish tied. We mentioned what the Pistons have going into it too. They have the New York Knicks as their final tune-up before those two games against the Bucks. If you do that, if you win tomorrow against a very good Minnesota Timberwolves team, if the Pistons fall to the Knicks and you beat the New Orleans Pelicans, you're three games up going into the weekend, meaning even if Detroit takes those two games, they can't catch you. So gone from a tenuous spot where I know there was a lot of concern among Bucks fans whether or not this team was going to slide into the play-in tournament. As we learned on Sunday, that was not mathematically possible. And now things are starting to fall into your lap in terms of seeding, at least in that five spot. We can't totally rule out the four seed yet, though that would require a lot more help and a lot of work to be done by the Bucks. Tomorrow night's a big one, though. The Bucks host the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's the first of the final four games here to close out the regular season. 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these stations. And, of course, we'll have Bucks talk after the game. The return of Bobby Portis should be a very, very lively atmosphere inside a Fiserv Forum. We'll talk to you once again tomorrow.